Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Food for Your Soul. We are your hosts, Pastor and Evangelist White. Please go with us in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, O gracious Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for seeing fit that we see another day. We thank you for your new mercies that are given to us every day. Everyone under the sound of my voice, God, please bless and touch in a special way. Thank you for just being God all by yourself. We give you all the glory and honor that is due unto your holy name. It is in Jesus' sweet name that we pray. Amen and amen. Good morning, good people. Good morning, Pastor White.
Good morning, Evangelist. How are you?
I am blessed, sir. Highly favored. On top and still rising. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Amen.
I'm blessed. Happy.
Yes, sir. Me as well. So we are ending a great topic that we had did for the last couple of weeks. And just to recap, it was get ready, get set, and go. Mm. And it was talking about the four seasons in our spiritual walk, which are sitting, standing, walking, and running. And we're going to kind of end it up today by combining the walking and the running. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Do you want to just go right into the walking, Pastor? Would you prefer to do that? Or did you want to kind of give a little recap of last week and bring them up to date? Or what do you want to do?
Well, we can just give just a small, because this is going to be good here.
Yes, so good.
But basically, we were talking about, and this has to do with us being in a right mental or spiritually mindset.
Amen.
When it comes down to our walk,
yes.
When it comes down to our faith, when it comes down to us being consistent and stable,
mm-hmm.
in our faith.
Yes.
And sometimes you have to sit, and that position means that I'm taking in it and I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time also, yes. when, and this is not something that just happens one time.
Amen.
You know, for the first time it starts with just us being able to get the basics down.
Yes.
But there comes a time when we have to be revived.
Yes.
We have to be restored.
Mm-hmm.
You understand, sometimes we go out and we do so much work and we sometimes burn out. So you have to know when it is time to take a sabbatical, when
Amen.
It is time to take a rest. When we talk about standing, we're talking about being disciplined, learning how to be steadfast, learning how to have all of the mental maps and the direction of where you're going to go, knowing how to stay focused. And when you can deal with that, then you can go forth.
Mm.
You can run this race.
Yes.
You can do what you need to do and stay focused, knowing that you are in a battle.
Yes.
This is a spiritual battle that we are in, and you have to know that things is going to come at you. You should not be so surprised and so shocked and so easily knocked off course.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should be easily focused on the things of God. If God has done something for you,
yes.
you should be able to reflect back on that. You should not be so easily to forget where the Lord has brought you from. And you should have a purpose-driven life. Praise the Lord.
That's really good, Pastor. That's really good. Thank you for the breakdown. We're going to actually be coming out of Colossians 2, 6 through 7. And before I even read it, walking is what we're going to be talking about just briefly, because, you know, the walking, and then we're going to go right into the running. But walking in Christ, Jesus, you know, walking in Christ is nothing less than being submissive to his lordship, right?
Amen.
Our Savior calls us to obedience, not that we might earn our salvation, but that we may display our gratitude for his grace. Obedience to Jesus is a humble embracing of his ways as we reflect on and proclaim our gratitude for his salvation. I like this writer here. Matthew Henry writes, "If we live in him, we shall be rooted in him
And the more firmly we are rooted in him, the more intimately we shall live in him.
That's it.
And when you were speaking about, you know, how we should be able to stand, I was saying, unless you get planted and rooted and grounded in God, you will never be able to stand, and you will always be that wavering person. So when he said that and you were saying that, I said, oh, wow, that's so good. So Colossians 2, 6 through 7, it reads, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Here we go again. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Just as you accepted the teaching that presents Jesus as both Messiah and the Lord, continue to maintain relationship with him. The Colossians were being urged to continue to look into him for salvation and to continue to submission to his authority. Do you have anything, Pastor, you want to add?
When you was talking about being rooted,
yes,
you know, I was thinking about the first song.
Mm.
When it said, blessed is the man,
yes,
who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly,
yes,
nor standeth in the way of sinners,
yes,
nor seateth in the seat of or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight,
yes,
is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate
day and night.
And then it says, and he shall be as a tree
planted
by the river. You see, so you know, when you are rooted in God, when you know that he is divine and you are the branches,
yes,
and when you abideth in him and he abideth in you,
yes,
you shall bring forth much fruit.
Yes.
Because I recognize that without Jesus, I can do nothing.
That's right.
See, so that is important, and you're right. You got to be you got to be grounded in that. You got,
yes,
to know whose you are.
And who you are.
And who you are.
And I think that's the problem with so many. See, this is where jealousy comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know who you are and whose you are, and someone comes along that does, you get jealous.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much at them, but you're so jealous because they know who they are in God. That's why, you know, if I just, you know, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but beep, beep, I don't look like what I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being is because I'm so rooted in God. But some people, they look like what they've been through.
Yeah.
And that's because they wear it so well. You can tell, yeah, you've been going through, whoa, you rough. But when you are rooted in the word of God, it doesn't mean that you don't go through. It's just that you don't get to, you have a choice not to go through like everybody else. Because I'm so rooted in the word of God, like you said earlier, Pastor, when you first opened, you were speaking about, we better believe that even as Christians, we're going to still go through some things.
Oh, you better believe.
And when you understand that and you get that in your mind, it does not mean that you won't go through. It just means that you'll go through with a better way of knowledge, because you'll understand that Christ is right with me, and he is not going to put more on me than I can bear, and he's already came and walked through this, and he's done came back to walk through it again with me.
Amen. And Jesus told us. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me,
yes,
you might have peace.
Yes.
But in the world,
yes,
you're going to have tribulation.
He
told us, in the world, you're going to have trouble. But
yes,
then he said, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world.
That's right.
So this is about knowing how to follow,
yes,
knowing how to walk.
Yes.
I'm following Jesus,
yes,
because he has already did it. So he's letting me know, if the world hates you, know that they first hated me.
Yes.
So as long as you follow me,
yes,
you don't have to worry about the opposition that comes. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, when persecute you, when say all manner of evil against you falsely
for my name's sake.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So trouble's going to come. We're gonna have some winds that blow, but let the winds blow. Let the storms come.
Right.
You know, but as long as I know, like when Jesus was on the ship, And he was on the bottom sleeping.
Yes.
As long as Jesus is in my spirit,
yes,
and he has taken rest in my soul,
yes,
you see what I'm saying? I don't have to worry about the storms that come into my life. Because and all it means is that if you think that Jesus is sleeping, all you got to do is look within yourself and say, hey, Jesus, hey, there's some things going on up in here that I don't quite understand, because he's
help
walking
me.
With us. He's
yes,
showing
he
us. He's right there with us.
Yes, he is.
Every step of the way. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you.
And, you know, I think about it, it's almost like if we pay attention to our life, a lot of the tests and trials are really tests and trials that we already had before, but a lot of them are ones that we never passed. And he's given us the instruction, and we have the word, we know, you know, and do we really have the faith to believe? So the test keeps coming, just maybe in different places, different people, different situations. But until you pass that test, and oftentimes the test is actually, even when we're taking, I've noticed, like, when you take bigger tests, if you really pay attention to the test, a lot of them are really common sense. And a lot of them are really things that you already know, but you're so quick trying to be so fast to pass it that you don't really take time to study it, to understand what this test is preparing you for that lies ahead.
But you see how you're talking about deceptive type methods that the devil uses?
Yes.
Because he is a deceiver.
Yes, he is.
He is a liar.
Yes.
He is a tempter.
Yes.
But the Bible says, count it all joy when
all
you
joy.
Find yourself in divers temptations.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Because when temptations come, even though it is something that I know used to,
come on,
you know, it used to bother
come
me.
Come on.
But when it comes now, you know, it gives me an opportunity to give God some glory.
That's
because
right.
I can overcome it, because I can deal with it now.
And I can see now.
And I can see now. I can see what the devil was trying to do with this thing.
Yes.
But it wasn't about you.
Amen.
It was about trying to stop the plan and purpose of God.
And you know what, Pastor White? That is so good, because that's what we have to understand. Sometimes I hear people say, I don't know why the devil is messing with me. Thank God the devil is messing with me. When he don't mess with you, that means you have nothing he wants. When he keeps coming after you, that's because he knows you have purpose. He knows that you are one that is a warrior, that is going to help build the kingdom of Christ. And so I got to come and stop you. I got to put a stumbling block in your way. I got to make you lose focus. So you know what? I'm going to make you mad. When you're on the freeway, I'm going to have this driver cut you off, and I'm going to have you think about that the whole time, and then you're going to lose your witness. He does so many things, but he always battles in our mind.
That's where the battle's at. That's why the Bible
says to renew your mind daily.
And you better do it daily, because it's a transforming process.
Good.
You see what I'm saying? So we are always being renewed in our mind.
That's
and that's why he says, eat your daily bread.
That's right.
Give us this day our daily bread.
That's right.
You need to, what is the bread? The bread is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said that I am the bread.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you have to eat.
That's good.
You got to eat him every day. I'm just reminded of Romans, the seventh chapter.
Please read that.
And it's good that it's within the last couple of verses. But it says, thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin.
Jesus.
That is the battle. The battle is in the spirit of your mind.
That's right.
And see, that's why if you're going to run, when I was in the military, evangelist,
wait,
I used
Pastor,
to hate.
You can't do the running yet. You
huh?
done with the walking? You running?
Well, walking and running, you know what I mean? Evangelist, I can't, you know, sometimes we got to walk this thing out.
Amen.
But, but we still, you know, it's still along the same family line of moving forward.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're moving forward.
Yes.
And I can think about, I just remember that when I was in the military, you know, we had to run all the time.
Yes.
I ain't like running. I just despise running, but it was something that we had to do as part of the requirement of being in the military and passing the PT test.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So I had to get in my mind, because I would already defeat myself in my mind, because I hated it so much.
Wow.
So I already started out with a bad attitude.
Yes.
And you'd be surprised how a bad attitude can affect.
And how it can contaminate others, too.
It can contaminate others.
Ooh.
It can affect you. You're not going to finish.
That's right.
Or, you know, and a lot of times you're not going to keep a pace. See, running is about knowing your pace.
Pastor, if you stop right there, that's exact your pace. Run your race, not mine. It's just like in a restaurant. If you were supposed to be in drive-thru, what are you doing on French fries? I'm going to need you to run your race at your pace.
That's right.
And some people may pass me up. But one thing I like about the race, Pastor, is we all running it. There's only one prize. See, I'm keeping my eye on the prize because I want to make heaven my home. Some people are running the race to impress. Some people are running the race to let others know, yeah, I can do this. But what are you running to? And what are you running away from?
That's real good. That's real good. But if you don't, if you don't know your pace,
that's right.
And you're trying to run somebody else's pace,
you'll be tired.
You'll burn out and you
yes,
get
you
tired.
Will.
So this is when this comes back down to the individual walk.
That's
it's
so
your
good.
Race, but don't run your race as those who run for a corruptible crown.
That's right.
Yours is uncorruptible. Even though we all are in the race, we all trying to get to the same place.
That's right.
But you have a race that you have to run that has to do with a God-centered purpose that he's given you.
That's right.
And that you have to know that you are special on the inside and that there's something within inside of you that the devil desires to have.
That's right.
That will keep you from being able to unite with your brothers and your sisters in Christ.
And you know what, Pastor? Something that really did for me is in my walk, when people would try to say, oh, you have the anointing of this person, or you have, I would say, no, thank you. I would not receive it. I would just always say, God, I want my anointing. But there were different characteristics about certain people that I admired. And I said, oh, Lord, I want to learn how to be a little bit more maybe submissive, or I want to learn how to be a little bit more deeper in my word when I'm speaking. If I saw an individual that did that, and so there's characteristics that I like, but I did not try to be that one.
Yeah.
Because I did not know, just see what I saw the first time. I see, man, a great, powerful house, and but I don't know what all you endured. I don't know the race that you have prepared. I don't know all the stretching you've had to do. I don't know, you know, all the preparation that you've had to do. So I don't want to run your race. I want to run the race that God has set for me. But I see some things along the way that say, oh, man, I like this. You know, Lord, can, you know, if it be your will, can I? And that's the things that we got to ask. We have to make sure that we don't want what somebody else has because we really don't know what all someone else has.
And that's so good, you know, with this because, you know, the Bible says that we're many members, but we're one body.
That's right.
But there's so much that we bring to the table that the body needs in order to move and to be effective.
Yes.
And if I'm trying to be like you,
amen,
and everybody is trying to be like Evangelist White, then, you know, there's only one area or one aspect, a real small aspect of the body that's
yes,
going to be effective.
That's right.
And because you're not running and doing what you are called to do, there's a void there.
That's
there's
right.
Something that's stopping us from being an effective body of believers, and that's why it's important that we help people to understand that they are special in God because you're here.
Yes, and they have great purpose. And why we look in maybe at someone else, you might have even something even greater to be able to display and show. So I've never been one to cut myself short. You know, and some people might take it as a conceited or overly confident, but really what it was is I really understood who God is,
mm-hmm,
and I made it my business to be about my Father's business and just what I can do.
Right.
So I never tried to do more than I can. Now, Pastor, you ain't going to catch evangelists doing like my good girlfriend, Debbie. She runs long marathons. Amen. I'm going to stand on the sideline and clap and cheer you on.
And you know I don't like running. So
but I know that that's for her, and I'm going to encourage her, and I'm going to speak life to her. But I'm not going to try to go in competition and get with her and do it because I know, for one, it's not for me, and I know, for two, I have not prepared myself like she has been preparing, and she's been doing this for years.
Amen.
So you can't just come in right away as a rookie and try to do what someone has been doing for a very long time.
Right.
I wanted to read this scripture, Hebrews 12:1, as we're going already into running the race. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness,
mm-hmm,
let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love reading that scripture, those scriptures, because I thought about Jesus, knowing that in the end, his final destination was going to have to be to bear that cross at that time. And even throughout his race, he still maintained and did what he was supposed to do. He still laid hands. He still healed. He still taught his word, even though he knew that he was going to have to endure life in the end. And so my question is, how many of us have even got a glimpse of what the end is going to look like? And if we really knew what it was, would we still be ready to be obedient and submissive under the authority of Christ to do exactly what we're supposed to do? Or will we have an attitude that says, I'm selfish, I'm all about me, I'm going to try to get and do everything I need to do before I die? Or will we be trying to do everything for everybody else, loving them, spreading the gospel, watching people get healed and delivered and set free? One of the things about this race, it is broken down in three ways, and it's actually a race of faith. The first breakdown, it is to be run by laying aside every weight. The second one is to be run by putting off the entangling sin. And third, it is to be ran with patience, or you one might want to say endurance.
Amen.
Amen. Do you have something, Pastor?
Well, the Bible says that, I believe it's in Hebrews, in the sixth chapter, so it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened and who have tasted, you know, the heavenly gift to go back to the beggarly elements of the world. It's just once you have seen and you have a eternal mindset, or you have an eternal revelation of where you're going, it's impossible to have tasted that and then to go back. You see what I'm saying? And that is the problem. A lot of us are trying to run this race with a natural purpose. It is not a spiritually eternal connected purpose.
That's right.
It's almost like, you know, and similar example, when I knew I was retiring out of the military.
Yes.
Oh man, it was such a nice focus. I wasn't in competition with nobody. I was telling everybody, man, how to make it. You know, I was telling all, so yeah, come here. Let me encouraging them and telling them, and it's almost like somebody who knows, who has been with the Lord, but they know that they're about to go to glory.
Yes.
And you might have met those people and seen a lot of people who's just ready to go because they have seen Jesus, and Jesus has let them know that their time is about coming.
Yes.
Almost like the Apostle Paul when he knew that his time was coming.
Yes.
And he said, look, I done ran my race. I done fought a good fight.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? And sometimes you get to the point where you say, you know what, a lot of times I'm here just for y'all.
Come on.
But if I had a choice, I'll go to heaven.
Mm.
When you got that kind of mindset,
you
can run this race, man. You can take some things. You can go through some things and know. But the main thing about running the race is being dependable.
That's right.
You know, you got a lot of people running all kind of places and every little thing, and a little win will knock them off course.
Just a little
but
bit.
When you are focused and you have an eternal purpose in mind and it's real.
Yes.
Oh man, you're unstoppable.
And you know, Pastor, one of the breakdowns is to run and lay aside every weight, and not just the weights. You know, we have so many weights that we carry. You know, if we can be real, we carry natural weights. Some of us need to lose weight, including the one that's speaking right now. You know, we have weights as far as,
what do you mean?
You know, I'm talking about like I need to lose a couple of pounds that. I know you think I look good, but I'm saying the weight, the run, you know, the running that we have to do. I'm just saying the weights that can sometimes bring us down a little bit. We got weights in our mind, you know, and we have weights, you know, on each side that we're trying to, you know, but if we can learn how to run this race and really run it, like you said, I don't think that many Christians are running the race with Christ being the end and being the prize. Oh, my God.
Mm.
That's my prize. It's not a mansion. It's not to outdo somebody. It's not to have the most money and wealth. But my prize is Christ.
I want to see him.
Yes, because, see, I've lived here on this earth in hell. I refuse to die and go to hell. So I'm going to run my race. And I'm going to endure like I'm supposed to do.
Amen.
And I'm going to be rooted and grounded in the Word. And by being rooted and grounded, it means that even though I am planted like a tree, I may bend, but I won't break. Because I know the Word of God that is all the way down on the inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm running my race, Pastor, not yours. I'm running the race that God has set before me. And this time, while I'm running this race, I'm really paying attention to a lot of the tests, because I refuse to be a child from Israel, you know, going around the same mountain over and over again and never really getting an understanding of what it is you're supposed to pass. And oftentimes the test that we are supposed to pass is because someone that is going to be coming behind you is going to struggle even more. But how can I help my next brother or sister if I myself am not getting it myself?
Praise the
Lord. So if I'm running my race and I'm focused on what God has for me, whew, and I see somebody pass me up, all right, Debbie, and I say, girl, God bless you. You know, make sure you have some water for me at the finish line too. And we are running, but we are running our own race and at our own pace.
And let me say this. You know, it doesn't mean that if you miss one of those tests,
that's right,
that you can't get back up
and start all over
and keep on running.
That's right.
The main thing is that you have to know that you're in a race. And anybody that knows they're in a race, you know, there's running included in that. You see what I'm saying? You got to, you know, that means you got to put forth effort.
That's right.
That means that you have to bring something to the table.
That's right.
So don't get discouraged, but just learn from the thing that, just like Jesus did. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered.
Amen.
Just learn obedience. Don't volunteer to keep going through the same test over and over again.
That's right.
Learn from it, because it does come to give you good principles and a good teaching on how you can stay focused on the race. And, you know, believe it or not, I did begin to understand run. And you know what? When I took the time to understand how to run and learn how to keep my pace, believe it or not, it even became a better joy for me, because it was something I did not like so much.
Mm.
So when I was able to see myself saying, wow, you know, I can do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even though really deep down inside I wouldn't choose to do it voluntarily, but if I had to do it, at least I know how to do it in a way to whereas I am not intentionally burning myself out.
And you were aware
with
of
negative
your pace.
Thinking.
That's good. That's good.
With negative thoughts.
I want to read this. Ecclesiastes 9:11.
Yeah.
I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare are the sons of men snared in evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. But I just liked how wisdom is better than strength. So sometimes it does not matter how strong you are, how quick you are. Sometimes you have to be able to be wise in the word of God to be able to know. Just like you just said, you were able to learn that in the beginning it was you who talked yourself out of a race. And then when you started getting a little bit more wiser and you started learning a little bit more, okay, this is my pace. Okay, I can do this. You started speaking life. So sometimes you can't just prepare for a race in the natural and be naturally fit, because if you're not spiritually fit, there has to be a balance. And wisdom is much better than strength.
The Bible says that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed,
yes,
you would be able to tell mountains to be thou removed and
Come
cast
on.
Into the sea.
Yes.
When we talked about the first psalm and just following on what you were saying,
yes,
blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Sometimes some of those thoughts that we have in our mind are those counsels.
That's right.
Those things that tell us that, well, who told you? That's why that's why God told Adam in the garden, who told you that you were naked? Who are you listening to? What thoughts in your mind is telling you that you can't make it?
Amen.
Because if God says that you can do all things through Christ then who's telling you that you can't?
Amen.
That is a lie.
Amen. That is good. Whoo, Pastor, that was good. So we pray that the last topic, the running, the walking and the running, we just pray that they all, the sitting, the standing, the walking and running, that you figure out, that you go before God and see where you are at in your spiritual walk. We pray that something we said and spoke today was a blessing to you. If God says the same, we will be on same time next Saturday. I am your host, Evangelist White.
Pastor White.
If nobody else tells you, God loves you, and so do we.
Praise the Lord.
God bless.